Okay, today is July 23rd, 2026. This is the Salt Creek Township Board meeting. In attendance is Joan Hall Trustee, board members Joe Hickman, Sharon Green, and Sean Hall. All right, first up on the agenda, I wanted to share with you the quarter two, which is basically the mid-year Township Assistant Report. And the way I did it this time, so if I gave you all a handout. So you can see the first quarter we were slammed. We had a lot of cases, very, very busy. A lot of people needed help with back rent and utility costs, high utility bills. And you can see the second quarter was much less busy. Do have some people that I continue to help. And then we had a couple of new cases. So if you see the way I did the sum is I just listed like what we actually spent that quarter. So you can kind of compare. So housing, you can see was way down. We spent over $22,000 in the first quarter and just about between $3,000 and $4,000 the second. No emergency shelter, which is good. Utilities were down and food was down. And I'm wondering if that food pantry may be helping us offsetting maybe a little bit of the cost. I don't know. A lot of people say they use it, and Sean, I think we've noticed other people are donating to it. So that may be part of it, or you know, I did encourage everyone to reapply for SNAP, and I've been pretty, you know, really pushing the other resources. Make sure you're applying for all these this other aid out there and giving them lists of pantries and things like that. And then miscellaneous was a little bit higher because I have some clients that I have one who needed help with the gas. He did get a job, but until he starts making some money, right now it's just minimum wage. I've been helping him with some gas and his medical prescriptions because he lost his Medicaid when he has to reapply. And that was really critical that he has his medicine. And then I had another client who I haven't heard from in a while, which I hope is good news because she did finally find some work. She's basically living out of an RV and she had some pretty major problems. So I had to help her with that. So that kind of falls on the miscellaneous request. So that was up on that.
When you say gas, you mean gasoline?
Gasoline for his car so he can get to his doctor appointment so he can get to his job. Yeah, that's okay. So if you look at mid-year, we have spent almost $44,000, just under $44,000. So we're just under half of the mid-year. So we're right on track. We're doing mm-hmm. well. We've assisted 13 households with 27 residents and a total of 79 requests. So a little bit slower than last year, but still very, you know, steady. Any questions about any of that?
No, but okay.
It's slower than last year.
Maybe just a little bit. I'll have to compare. It's similar, but I don't know that. I think we, at this point, maybe we had spent a little bit more.
Okay.
But similar. Mm-hmm. And then I just got a new case just a couple days ago. People call me, and I get people that call me too, and I found out that they're like on the border. They're actually in Perry or Clear Creek, and I direct them.
You redirect them, yes.
I redirect them, yeah. It's fine. Okay, and then this helps us just going into our next agenda item with budget planning. So, yes, we are starting the 2027 budget planning.
Oh, this is the only one I have.
Oh, that one is just the thing about there's not a handout for that. Okay. That's something else, which I didn't think you needed, and I'll explain that. It's the last item. 2027 budget planning. I meet with Bob Purley on Monday, actually. He's our budget consultant. He has been for many years. And so this will help him, like, when we plan for the coming budget, you know, I don't think we're going to need to increase our budget for township assistance. It looks like we're pretty much on track with what we've budgeted. It's hard to predict, but this is probably a pretty good indicator. I don't really see increasing any budget lines in the coming year, with the exception of the fire protection, because that did go up 4%. As we knew, it would go up 4% every year.
Right.
And we're going to talk more about fire protection in a minute. But what will happen is I'll meet with Bob. We'll kind of get the lay of the land. We have to also do the capital improvement plan, which is basically the same thing. We're just going to carry it over into the next year. And we'll put together a budget, and then we'll all meet in September, like probably mid-September. This is what we did last year. And we'll review everything, and we'll work it out and come to an agreement on everything. And that's the meeting that we actually advertise. So if any township residents want to actually sit in and listen to that meeting or ask questions or give input, they can do that. They usually don't come, but they're invited. And then once we get through that, then 2 weeks later, we meet and we approve the budget, just like we did last year. So we have the general fund, which is basically all the operating expenses. We look at rainy day fund, which I think is going away at some point. The only rainy day money we've used so far this year was to help get that property cleaned up on Knight Ridge as best as we could. We did what we were able to do.
I was going to say, we did talk about possibly doing some improvements. Are we still considering that?
Yes. You mean to the cemetery?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to get to that in a minute.
Okay.
Some of the bigger improvements I have not done. Those were more, I have not got to the really big ones, but we have done some work. The other categories are fire protection and then township assistance. So those are the different funds. So I'll be get in budget mode here soon. You were just asking about the cemeteries. Okay, Chandler Cemetery. So Rusty Hawkins, who maintains our cemeteries, his company, took me out there. Was it last week, Sean? Yeah. He drove me out there. It's very remote. I haven't been out there in 2 years. I haven't because we weren't really allowed to be out there. It's really hard to find. It's like way out there.
Which one is it?
This is Chandler. So it's on the other side of the lake. You go like, we went down, you can go through Kent Road, but it was flooded. So you go down TC Steel and then it's like twists and turn. And
that whole back area gets flooded in a whole bunch of different pockets all over the place.
Yes. Yes. It's really far.
But this one's right on the back part of the lake, isn't it?
It's way on the other like you actually go into Brown County and then back into Monroe County. So it's on the, I could show you on a map where it is.
What's the other one? That's
Friendship Cemetery.
Okay.
And that's off like Kent Road.
Yeah.
So I can show you on a map.
That's
also very remote.
Yeah.
We didn't get to that one because it was flooded. So I have not been there in a while. So Chandler, we did have that, the fence had been damaged. And you know, we couldn't go out there for a couple of years because we had to come up with the cemetery development plan, and the Forest Service had concerns, and they have very strict regulations. And then, so then they finally gave us the go ahead. So I saw the fence; it's beautiful. He did a wonderful job on that. I had showed you a couple of pictures at our last meeting, and then we walked to the cemetery, and they've been keeping it up. They go out there; they try to go out there once a month in the summer and mow and just pick up sticks and kind of keep it clean. So it looked good. The headstones are very, very old. Some of them are from the 1800s. Most of them are. And not very many, but really bad shape. So I have a guy that helped me clean a headstone at Salt Creek Cemetery not too long ago. It was vandalized, and he did a fantastic job, and he does a lot of work for Valhalla. He went out this past week and cleaned them, and he sent me pictures, and they look a lot better. They're not perfect because they're so old, and they haven't been cleaned in so long, so I feel good that, okay, we got that done. So the only thing left to do out at that cemetery is repair the little kiosk that's out there. It's like on a stand, and it's got, the glass had been broken, and there was some information in there like about the cemetery. I think there was a map and some history. So I'm going to have to just go out there. I should have measured it when I was out there. I'm going to have to go out there again and measure, maybe replace the glass and find something to put in there, and it's not urgent, but I would like to get that done. But cleaning, getting the headstones, and there's like a stone bench and it's like a little stone patio. He cleaned all of that too, so it looks so much better. The new fence. So
I was just going to say, that sounds like it could be an interesting project for a student.
Yes.
To come up with materials and make copies of them out of different and various sundry county records. Maybe use, History Center as a
The History Center is an idea, and I know the guy who the director of the History Center is a really nice guy.
They may be able to put us together with a student.
That you say that, because Rusty was telling me that sometimes IU students go out there and they research, and so to contact IU, but also the Boy Scouts had originally installed that, so maybe they would be willing. So you're right. I think that's a really good idea to see.
But it'd be nice to improve it as opposed to just recreate what was there, to make it better and more historically significant so that people were interested in it.
I think some kind of history, like information, and I think that's what was there before. Like, this is the Chandler Fry Shields, because most of the headstones are from the same family, and then there's some that a few that aren't, but who's buried here? What is the significance of the cemetery?
Yeah, what land did they own, and what part did they play in the development of that side of the township, and so on?
And I have a lot of that information. One of the things I did a couple years ago when I started this job was, so the History Center has books. I bought a book, and several of the trustees have this book on all the cemeteries in Monroe County, because I wanted to learn about our cemeteries. And so I have some of that information. So that's good. I think that could be a good project, if I can just find the place that they can go out and work on it. Sure. What else was I going to say? I know you had talked about cameras or signs. I just haven't gotten to that.
Yeah. How old is the oldest headstone out there?
Oh, gosh, you would ask me that. I know it's the 1800s, but I couldn't tell you. Okay. I'll go back and look at them.
Are there a lot of headstones there?
No, there's maybe 20, and some of them are very small. There's a tree in the center of the cemetery that looks like it's dead, like it really needs to be removed, but I'm going to have to really talk to the Forest Service about that, because I can't do anything without their approval. And there's a headstone that's like right at the base in the trunk, so you have to be really careful not to knock that down. But it's dead, and it probably needs to be removed. But I can't, again, I can't do anything without talking to them, because they don't want to disturb the land. One of the things I did notice, and I was talking to Rusty about it, that there were some like pretty deep look like tire tracks, like people were driving back out there, like on a, what do you call them, a three-wheeler or a four-wheeler. And he said that some of the people that live, and there's some pretty wealthy homes right on the lake down there. I mean, they're way, way down there. That some people do go out and do that, and they're not supposed to do that. And the Forest Service will have a fit if they see that, because you're disturbing the land and everything. But I don't really know what I can do about it. But we did notice that some people are out there. So as remote as it is, some people...
It used to be a teenage practice to go to graveyards in the summer.
But it's so out there. I mean, this is so remote. I know. Yo, absolutely. When I was in high school, same thing. But I didn't go out miles into the boonies. I mean, but yes.
But if you lived close to there, it wouldn't be that far to go to there. Yeah.
So there's only so much I can do about that.
No, I'm not saying...
But anyway, we were making progress, so yeah. I feel good about that.
Well, I would suggest you put a little sign out for that as well.
Yeah.
It may not do anything, but some people may respond.
And like you said, even to put the sign out, even if there isn't a camera, just say, hey, cemetery is under surveillance.
Right.
No, yeah.
Right.
We could put it right on the fence.
Right.
That's a good idea.
Or powered vehicles prohibited or something.
Right. And then you asked me about some of the other cemetery improvements. So Salt Creek, this past year we replaced that building that's right, a little
right,
building that's
right
there. We did replace the roof and the gutters, and we also had some tree work done, because there were some pretty precarious branches that didn't want to fall. And then I talked to Rusty last week about repairing this little fence that goes behind it. The inside of the building... we did talk about, do we want to weatherize it, like clean it up and make it, you know, put heating, cooling water in there. I haven't approached that yet. But I know that's a long-term project. And we also talked about it possibly expanding the cemetery. We can get that land. And I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes.
Okay.
So there are some big problems. I just haven't gotten to it yet. But baby steps.
I just brought it up because
yes.
it was in the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of like, mm-hmm. We talked about getting to it in the spring, and so now it's the summer. So
well, we did do two very big projects at Chandler.
Like,
do two really big projects. The fence was a huge one, and getting the cemetery headstones clean. Those were the two big things I wanted to do, and it really does look better out there. The other thing is, I do think that I am going to look into getting cameras at Salt Creek. I think it's probably even more important that I do that, because we did have that veterans marker vandalized not that long ago. And then I get calls from some funeral homes on a fairly regular basis, because they need me to go out and like mark a grave when they're going to go, you know, I have to like mark it, and they have to go out when they go dig the grave or have a service, you know, even if they're just burying ashes and things. So one of the guys, Scott from, I can't remember the funeral home, but he said when he was out there, this was just a couple of weeks ago, he said there was a couple of people, kind of shady looking people, that looked like they were trying to get into the building, or they were like trying to get open the door or something. And it's locked, and there's nothing valuable in there. It's just basically, records and old equipment. It's like, there's nothing. But I thought, well, that's weird, and that didn't make me feel good. And then there's a food pantry there, and then I know we've had that vandalization. So I think we could put a camera. I'm going to talk to a company, even up high on that flagpole where you could see the parking lot where people are driving in. You could see the building. You could see the
Is there power to that building?
Yes.
Is what
there is. I pay a small electric bill every month.
What we do at our house.
Uh-huh.
We've got security cameras.
Do you?
If we had Wi-Fi there. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of different cameras you can get.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they're not very expensive anymore.
And you can connect it to your phone, I think.
And they
go to
your phone.
You can monitor it with your phone.
Yes.
It will also record any, you can set it to record any movement or stuff like that.
Okay. I think we could definitely get a sign out at the other cemetery, but I do think we actually need cameras at Salt
Creek. But you could get cameras with a recorder for, a couple hundred bucks, maybe.
It's not that expensive anymore.
The
expense would be the Wi-Fi.
Okay, well, I don't know how much. Well, if I talk to a company, who did you use? Do you have any recommendations?
For what?
For the security cameras?
Well, I just bought them at Best Buy.
Well, Van Buren Township has cameras. I may just talk to them and see who they're using.
But, you could get them, and I could tell you get Rusty to just put them up. They have to mount. Ours are, they, I like that our cameras plug in. Mm-hmm. Some of them are battery powered, and then you got to change batteries all the time. But I like them where you plug them in, so you could have one on the building. You can do them probably all on.
I want to get into a place where someone can't reach them easily.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So put one in the tree. I don't know. I want to be able to see, though, and the building. I want to see the food pantry.
Well,
some weird things have been happening.
Some of the simple systems will also have a verbal alarm if you want to set them up that way.
Okay.
So that if somebody's approaching the building, it'll say, "You are under surveillance," or something like that.
Okay.
There's all sorts of alternatives on these equipment now, and they're not that expensive.
Well, Scott said when he kind of walked towards a building and they just took off or ran off, and he was like, so he called me and said, "Hey, that was kind of strange." And I said, "Yeah, that is strange." So, it's just been, and then there was a couple of weird things. Like there was a heavy kind of stone kind of vase thing next to the building, and somebody had picked it up and moved it over by the pantry. And so somebody's messing around over there. So I don't like that. I mean, I don't want anybody disturbing anyone's headstones or decorations or anything,
or messing up the pantry.
Or messing up the pantry. Exactly. The pantry hasn't been damaged.
Yeah.
And I am glad to see people come through and donate. Yeah. I mean, actually, when we were coming back from Chandler Cemetery, because I met Rusty at Salt Creek, and we were driving back, and he was dropped me off at my car. The woman stopped by and was donating food, and I thanked her, and I was like, "This is great." So, okay, so that's enough on the cemeteries. A few more things. Okay, I wanted to just share, I thought this is a really good project. I attended a meeting last week. The trustees have a meeting every month, and it's usually just the same four or five townships that attend. But we met with, Randy Rogers heads up United Way, and I've known Randy for a long time. He used to work at IU. He is part of a group they put together. It's called COAD, and I think it's Community of, I'm not sure what the AD, I think it has to do with after disaster, but basically what it is they've put together a network of local, people representing different organizations, and they work together to kind of help people after, a storm or a tornado or some kind of disaster hits. And the reason they do that is because the resources out there, from the county, the state, federal, they're being stretched pretty thin. I remember our neighborhood a couple years ago, we had that storm, and we were kind of on our own. If it weren't for some really nice neighbors that came and just with their chainsaws and cut down trees, because we were blocked in the neighborhood. The county never came out. I think they were just so overwhelmed because it was all over, and we were kind of all on our own, helping each other neighbor to neighbor and calling our own insurance agencies and agents and all that. And you still have to do that. But there was an example not too long ago where a tornado came through on the west side of town, and that's Van Buren Township. And again, the emergency assistance and, you know, Red Cross, all those places, agencies that come in, you know, they're there temporarily, but they can't really, they're stretched so thin. And sometimes they don't even know what neighborhoods are hurting and not. They were able to put together a group of almost 100 volunteers that came in and just were able to help these neighborhoods and take care of things. And so what they're doing is they're going to make this more of an official organization. They're starting to meet monthly. They're going to have a website, and they want townships to be involved. Because like, say we had a situation like that, I could have called that group and they might've been able to come out and help our neighborhood. It's really grassroots, and I think it's great. Yeah. And the other thing they want to do is they want townships to be proactive and start educating residents about, you know, what, you know, how to plan for an emergency, what resources are available to you. Like they talked about, and I guess I knew this, but I didn't know it maybe in order. The agencies that come out, like after a really bad tornado hits like a neighborhood or an area, the emergency management and the first responders are the first to come out. Of course, they're going to be stretched so thin, but they come out and really kind of resolve any like immediate danger, like somebody is hurt or they can't get out of their house or there's a power line down or something like that. And then they go away, and then the Red Cross and Salvation Army come in and they can provide temporary food and shelter, but they're just there for a few days. And then after that, supposedly FEMA comes in to do some damage assessments. But, you know, after that, like, there are people that, like, you know, I remember, I think it was, what was that tornado that hit the south of town? Was that 2 years ago or last year?
May 2025.
Okay, it was last year.
Just a little over last year.
It wiped out that post office. It wiped out a hotel, and all these people had apartments. And Perry Township really had to step in and help them find housing.
I was just going to say, the neighborhood right next to Speedway.
Monroe County Speedway? Or
Monroe County Speedway. That neighborhood right there also got really badly hit.
Yeah, yeah.
All sorts of roofs came off and trees through houses.
And these storms are going to just keep coming. They're getting worse. They're coming more often.
Tornadoes in Monroe County this year.
Yeah. And so basically what they're saying is we've got to mobilize these community volunteers to step up, and we're going to have this group, these group of people, it's growing, and then we can work with the townships to help people if it were to happen in our township. So I think it's terrific. It's you know, they're going to just get regular old residents to step in, because these agencies do great work, but I just think that they're overwhelmed, and, you know, I think there's been a lot of cuts in services, and they just can't do it all, you know. So anyway, I just wanted you to kind of be aware, I'll keep you as this grows and develops and I learn more about it. I just wanted to share with you. It was a really good meeting.
Are they looking for the townships also to pool in a little bit of money into their budgets?
They haven't asked. We haven't gotten to that point yet.
Okay.
But that's interesting.
It's not a bad idea.
No, it's
though.
Not. It isn't a bad idea. They have a couple of different townships in the group now. Someone from Perry and someone from Bloomington. And anyway, I don't know
Is this a private charity, or is it
it's like community. So we've got some township people in there. They've got people from, I don't know all the other organizations, someone from the city, I think people that work in nonprofits or government agencies, but it's not like their primary job to take care of this stuff.
Who funds it?
There's no funding. It's just strictly volunteer. It's like muscle. Like when that happened out, I think it was the Fieldstone neighborhood. From what I understand, people just came in, and the township must have. No, that's a good question. I don't know where the funding came from. I'll ask about that.
Well, they may be raising it themselves, but it'd be good to have an understanding of what it is and what they need.
Rita Barrow, who's the trustee for Van Buren Township, and she's terrific. She said that she went to some local, businesses and got pizzas for the volunteers, and she did get some donations from companies. I mean, she might have gone to Menards or some places. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But I don't know that there was any money exchange. There was a lot of getting companies to volunteer and donate. But I will ask that question. It was just the first meeting. They just wanted us to be aware that we're putting this group together, and more information will be coming. So I'll keep you posted as I learn more.
What did you call the name of it?
So they call it COAD, And it's, but I'm trying to remember, it doesn't really say, it must be community something organization after disaster, or I don't know. I don't know exactly what it stands for, but right. It talks about services after the disaster, you know, getting help with recovery, rebuilding, and support services. So basically helping people know when their house is destroyed or they're put out of their apartment and they're standing there and they're like, they don't know what to do. Some people can come in and say, okay, here's what you do. Here are the steps to take.
So
and here are the resources.
If we have a disaster in the township, this is someone, this
yes.
is a resource that we
could call. Yes.
And ask for.
Yes. And they'd send them out.
Yeah. Can you help?
Yeah. Which
okay.
I wasn't aware. I don't really think there was anything like
right.
that before.
Right.
Right. So. Okay. All right. What do I have next here? Okay. Township website, which we've been talking about for several months, and I've been waiting and back and forth with the company, it's the Indiana Office of Technology, and they're the people they use to develop websites. They took all our information, all the content that we talked about that we wanted to see on the website at our meeting several months back. And Monday, I'm finally going to have a web link to that you can click on and look at. Design-wise, we don't have a lot of wiggle room there. It's the in.gov template. It's the official template they use for Indiana townships and other state, government entities, but it's nice. It's very clean, and I think it's. I remember when I was looking at a test site that I had to log into briefly. It was very mobile friendly because most people are going to access it from their phone. But I want you to all look at it, and I did have to go through some training. So if there's things on there, you say, "Hey, can we add this? Can we change this content? Can we?" I can go in and do those things
okay.
because it's not going to be static. Like for example. I want to add our meeting minutes because we've been recording our minutes since last year, but now I have a place I can post them that people can actually listen to our meetings.
That's
so anyway, I think it's going to be great. And the thing I like about it, well, it's free, but it's an in.gov website. So it's official, and it will, when people go to look, they told me that when people go to search for Salt Creek Township, it will be like the first thing they see. So
what will the address be?
I don't know specifically yet. I think it will probably be Salt Creek Township 53@in.gov or something
okay.
like that.
Just text it to
yeah.
us.
No, I'm going to text you a link,
right.
and then
yeah.
you can see the site. And again, and then give me your feedback. Okay.
Cool.
But they said Monday at some point, the 27th. So I'm very excited because it's been a long time coming.
Well, and we could have features. I mean, if somebody does the research for the cemetery, then we can go out and
mm-hmm.
put some of that together and make that a supplemental page and so on and so forth.
There's a section on cemeteries, that there's a page because there's the welcome and then there's a whole thing for township assistance. There's a thing about fire protection. And we're going to talk about fire protection next. There'll be information coming that we'll be adding about that. Events, meetings, if we have a public meeting about the fire or our budget meeting coming up, I can put those on the page now. So it's something that is going to be always moving and changing. And so that'll be good. And then like the cemetery stuff, absolutely. Okay. Right.
And a food pantry.
What about the food
pantry?
Oh,
the food pantry.
That is a section.
Good.
The food pantry is up there. What else is up there? Cemeteries.
Map of the township. Right?
Yeah. So, like you had suggested, I think this is you, Sharon, a way to contact us. That form
mm-hmm.
that's going to be happening. There's a map, so you can go in there. There's a map of the township, so they can see where it is. But also, there's a really cool feature that you can go in and type in your address, and it pulls up what is your township. So that is really good. And I saw that, I think, on Benton Township site, and I thought, oh, that's great. So I think it's a really good first step for us, and at least we'll have a web presence now, which we have not.
All the essential information.
All the essential information. There's an application on there, so they can click on it. It's a PDF. They can print it. They still have to print it out. I still have to have that paper app, but they can download it from there if they have the ability to do that.
Well, they can If they know about it, they can go to the library and even get assistance on how to print it out.
Exactly.
So,
and there's also a link to resources, all the other resources available to them in Monroe County, you know, food and housing and everything and anything else that they're looking for. So so it's all there in like one nice place. And I got a really nice photo of the Lake Monroe that they put up there. So I think
it's great.
I think it'll, All the stuff that we talked about, it's in there. So, but I know, Sharon, you have lots of ideas, so you just keep them coming. All right, fire protection. Okay, they got us our contract early this year. So basically, it's the same thing as always. It did increase by about 4%, which we knew it was going to happen. This is the only thing I think I see that we'll budget more for this year. And basically, we just all need to sign it. So I'm going to go around and get the three of you to sign this. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about fire protection after that. So just these three. It doesn't matter what order you sign them in. Just need you all to sign. And when was it? We met with Dustin Dillard back in June, wasn't it?
Yes, on the day that my phone decided to die.
Oh, yeah.
8 hours with Verizon.
Did you get it all worked out?
To up the ladder of craziness to come to the conclusion that it couldn't be fixed. But they didn't send me a new one the next day.
So you were without your phone for a couple days? You were without a phone for a couple of days?
Only about 24 hours.
Okay, that wasn't too bad.
It wasn't terrible.
I know. How do you live without your phone now, right?
I survived. And the Verizon store in town on the east side, they're very helpful. They helped me do all of the transfer.
That's good.
The next day when
that's
it came
good. Out, so. Oh, that's so frustrating. Well, anyway, let's talk about fire protection. Okay, so we've been talking about this for a couple of years. I know we've talked about wanting to get fire hydrants and then the water storage. So apparently, and Joe and I did meet with Dustin last month. So the county commissioners want Polk and Salt Creek Township to join the fire district. We are the only two townships that do the annual contract, and it's a financial thing, really, because they're so small. Everyone wants us to join the fire district. I think there's just been some financial concerns, right? Like, how would we afford it? Because when you join the fire district, you lose basically the local income tax. And, you know, would we have enough money to keep funding the township? I think that was what Bob Perley's big concern was. So, so if we join the fire district, it wouldn't take effect until January of 2028. So we've got over a year and a half to kind of work this out. Dustin said that we need to have a public meeting for residents to have a discussion about this. I don't know how many years ago was it when Don was trustee, when we switched from Bloomington Fire Protection to Monroe Fire Protection. I'm not sure what year that was.
2017.
Okay. So they had a public meeting. I think they had two of them actually, but I know they had at least one. And it was at the Church of the Nazarene right there on 446 in Lambkins Ridge. And it was very well attended, great venue. And, you know, we had the fire chief come in. We actually had both fire chiefs come in and talk. And then we had quite a good crowd of people, and they were able to give their input and just discuss it. And that's how we were able to decide to move to Monroe. So we will have to have a public meeting. I don't know if it would probably be in August or definitely in the fall and get people's input. One of the good things about it, and interject here, Joe, is that if we do join the district, then it will really be the fire department. They will the ones then really be responsible for building us a fire station. So the responsibility comes off us. We've been trying, we've been saving money, but we can definitely donate money towards that because that's what we've been earmarking is we want to donate. We haven't been able to get that piece of land, but they will probably have more leverage in allowing us to get that land, right? Yeah. And so it's a good thing, and we wouldn't have to pay the money for our contract every year. There are tax implications. So property tax owners, and Dustin is done some calculations. I can send you a little spreadsheet he sent me.
He did send that?
Oh, yes. I'll send it to you. Okay. Yeah, I did get that. And I'm sorry, I haven't sent it to you yet. But basically what it boils down to is there would be a 14% probably tax increase. Or it would, they would spread it out over a few years. And he did some calculations on what that would mean if your house was like $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $500,000. The average household house value probably in this township is in the 300-something. You know, if you're going to join the fire district, there's, you know, I think it's worth paying a little more taxes. There's some people may not agree with me on this, but this is where you have the discussion.
People have to get a perspective of what the increase is.
The pros and cons.
If the increase is, you know, 10% of what you're paying, for some people that won't seem like much at all. It might be, you know, $30 more or whatever, which doesn't sound overbearing. If you're sitting in a house where it becomes $300 more, then you're shocked and go, oh, we can't do that. So it comes down to how many people have really expensive houses and how much would each person be.
What is the financial impact? And then still, what is the financial impact to the township, because there's other things happening with property taxes and the local income tax at the state level and some of these bills that they're passing. And a lot of that, we don't quite know how that's going to impact us. But bottom line was we would lose, I think, in funding at probably about $70,000 a year. Could we move forward on that? Maybe. We have a good reserve. So there's a lot of things to talk about of the financial impact, you know, on our residents and then on the township. So, but I think it's exciting that I think it's a way to move forward. The bottom line is we want better fire protection for our residents. Well, that's the primary thing.
I also don't think that most people in the township have any understanding of how unprotected they are.
I know.
It's not that the fire department won't come out. There's just not all the things that we've talked about not having water to refill and all that sort of thing. And distance, too.
Right. And if we could get a station on, you know, in the middle, which we've been wanting to do, that would be huge. Because the bottom line is we want people, if God forbid they had a fire, we want them to get the fire trucks to them quickly because, you know, a house can burn down very quickly. We want to provide the best protection possible. That's the most important thing. But keeping in mind the financial implication.
I mean, it won't take an expensive house to have a $300 increase.
No.
I mean, if you have a $200,000 assessed value, that's
14% of what your property, say. So let me pull this up.
That'd be $280.
Let me pull this up really quickly, okay?
Is it 14% of the value or 14%
assessed
of the
value? The taxable taxable value.
That's a lot.
Okay. All right, here.
I thought you were saying 14% of the old tax amount.
No. So here, assessed value. Okay, a house. Okay, $500,000 assessed value, and this is with standard and supplemental homestead credit deductions. Okay, they would see an increase of about $554.
That's a lot.
For a $300,000 house, about a $310 more a year.
Right.
And then for $100,000, it'd be about $67 more a year. So that's 14.1%. He's talked about it maybe being implemented over a few year period, so it wouldn't be hit you all at once. But yeah.
I think there will be some, you know, people voice.
Well, we want to hear from them.
In this environment, people don't want to see their taxes.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to get input from the residents and see what they want to do. But then again, if the commissioners are like, no, we want this to happen, I just don't know how much control we have over that.
No,
but we definitely want the input from residents.
But we should also be cognizant of what is, you know, I think people...
What they want.
Yeah, well, and that there's going to be some...
Pushback, maybe.
Well, yes.
We also
just some interest in.
Yeah.
There's a flip side of that. We also need to talk to insurance brokers about, does the rate of insurance go down?
It should.
With improved fire.
It wouldn't go down
until we have that station.
A station.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But that's part of what the presentation should also include.
We have to address that. Like, if we join the fire district,
will go down, but your taxes will go up, or whatever combination of things are happening.
Yeah.
And it would. Do you remember what he said about the fire station? It wouldn't happen right away. It would probably take a few years.
Yeah, it's not going to happen right away.
Right, but I think it by joining the fire district, we have a better chance of it actually happening.
That, to me, that's the best. That's the strongest selling point to join it is because Dustin is very enthusiastic about getting a station.
Yes. Yeah, he's great.
And so he's very supportive. It would be more likely to happen. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying that though these will be, I think, real issues.
We have to really be prepared.
Yeah.
And we definitely want input from the residents, but they have to know all the pros and cons and like what, you know, in the end, you know, there's going to have to be some discussion.
We need to beat the bushes and get a lot of people there. Not just the I don't want my taxes to go up people.
Right.
We need to get lots of people for whom the financial implications are not very hard because they're not...
Right. We have a lot of renters and... Yeah, exactly.
There's all sorts of people. And
right.
The majority of the people who live in this township are in the lower end of the economic picture.
Right.
But they have to feel like, you know, they're one vote, not... Yeah. Going to be overwhelmed by rich people.
But, you know, I've heard from some people in Rush Ridge who, you know, and that's a very beautiful, you know, affluent neighborhood. And I've heard from a few people that, you know, they want to join the fire district. They want to get a fire station built. Yes, their property taxes will go up. Those are expensive homes. But they also want to protect those homes. And they also, if a fire station is built and it's within a certain number of miles, your insurance costs will go down. But this is, you know, we have to take the first step.
Well, when we were first talking about this back when Dawn was, and I called insurance agents, and they couldn't give me a definitive, this is what it will do. That's that'll be a bit of a puzzle to say if there's a fire station. You know, it'll be hard to say exactly how much someone's insurance is.
We need a test case. We need a comparative test case. We need some place that has done this in the last 10 years, let's say, and what rates got changed because of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, this is exactly how it will happen here, but people need to have a sense of it.
Yes.
Is my.
But I don't think it'll be the people in Rush Ridge that'll complain. It'll be people with like $300,000 home,
like our neighborhood.
Yeah, and that's. I think that's. I don't know. That my amateur assessment is that's most of the homes are in that range.
Yes,
that's
true.
That'll be.
That's a chunk.
You know, $300 or $400 annual increase to them.
Right.
So we need to be able to say, is that worth it?
Exactly. That's exactly right. Is it worth it? You know, I personally, you know, I don't want to pay more in property taxes, but I'm willing to. But I, you know, everybody's situation is different.
The implications and
what the pros and cons, right? But and I need to gather more information here. If the commissioners want this to happen, you know, is it? Do we have control over saying yes or no? I don't know.
I don't know either.
So, but it's important to talk to the residents, get the word out, and we can talk about the best way to do that, word of mouth, the website. You know, I remember back when Don had the meetings, he had signs, you know, placed on 446 and all around, he got a good turnout, but a lot of it is just, you know, let your neighbors know.
The other aspect of insurance, it's a fire station, but it's also hydrants.
Yes.
And so you can get a fire station, but if you're still a ways away from a hydrant. That was my understanding when I talked to the insurance. So I don't know. But yeah.
Well, and then that was, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe they would have some leeway to get like one, because I thought the water lines on 446 were wide enough, but yeah, we really got shut down on that. But maybe that can open up the conversation again. I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's a lot, but it's kind of exciting, I think. You know, I mean, I think we, you know, we should be part of the district if we can make it work for everybody. You know, obviously I don't want people to have to pay more taxes, but okay. All right. And then, okay, what else did I have? Oh, I gave you a little handout. So this is, it's the bottom one. So, Sean, I'm sorry, print went out for you. So when I guess it was 3 years ago, Joe, the township, they had like a little gathering picnic thing out at Carr's Farm, and it was nice. So basically, they just invite all the township trustees and board members and their families to, it's just an informal gathering. They have like hamburgers and hot dogs. You can bring a side dish, and it's usually, I think there was four or five townships represented. I don't think I'm going to be able to go this time, but I wanted to know you were invited and you're welcome to go. It's August 7th. I don't know that I'm kind of iffy because Dad will just be getting back and he'll be jet lagged. I don't know. I'm not sure yet if I can go. But it's a nice event and I wanted you to know you were invited and there's, you know. You'll be where?
Day two of Billy Strings.
Oh, no, where's he playing?
Up in Indianapolis.
Oh, is he going to be there again?
No, he had rescheduled the last one because he fractured his leg.
Oh, that's right.
Skateboarding backstage. So these are the rescheduled shows.
Oh, because they're probably all full.
Sold out, you mean?
Are they?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, wow.
We had tickets for the first one.
I remember that. Okay.
Because that was going to be after all our horse stuff was done, and that's okay. So we'll be able to go do something. And,
well, yeah, that's probably sounds like a lot more fun.
We won't make the cookout.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to know you were invited.
We enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was nice. I hope they'll start to do it again every year.
Yeah.
So if we can't make it this year, we can go next year.
Right.
I think that's all I have. So I need to follow up with you about, let's look at this. So budget planning. So we'll meet again in September. We'll have two meetings, probably one in mid-September and then again 2 weeks later. If there are any dates in September that you're not available or you're going to be out of town, let me know as soon as possible. So because I'm going to have to schedule these in advance. And I'm going to get back to you on, I'll send you the website link for the township. I'll send you those information that Dustin had sent me about the fire, and I'll also keep you posted on, you know, when we're going to have that public meeting, and I'll reach out to Dustin here in the next couple of weeks and find out where we are with all of that. So
I do know that we're going to be out of town the 15th through probably the 28th.
Oh wow. Okay.
But I can,
okay,
you know, Zoom.
Okay. Okay, so you might have to... Okay, that's good. So Joe, out of town. Okay.
So, I mean, if you do it right before...
We'll work around it.
But if not, I mean, I can Zoom
in. Yes, that's true. You can do that maybe for the first meeting, and then. But I do probably need your physical, like when you get back.
Signature, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll figure it out.
All right.
And how about you?
Nothing on the calendar right
okay.
now.
Okay, all right. So you don't have any plans to be at it. Okay. I just, because I really do have to have at least all three of you at those meetings.
I mean,
it's important.
Football season will have started, therefore.
Ah, that's right.
there's a whole series of home games at first, so.
We're supposed to go to one on September 26th, aren't we? So, I'll make sure it's not on a night of a game. It'll be a Thursday night probably. So I don't think they have football games. I'm excited for this year.
Yeah,
it's going to be good. So
it's coming up.
All right. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Or I've been busy. There's been a lot going on. But I think we're making some good progress.
No, I was going to tell you, and they probably have another copy of this at the History Center. You'd mentioned that cemetery book.
Yes.
They had the History Center sale. Whatever, a few weeks ago, their garage sale.
Right.
We went to it, and they have the book section. They had, it's a Salt Creek, it was a historical, it's a diary of Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T, he had the farm on
Knight Ridge Road. Knight Ridge Road, yes.
Really?
It's from like 1893 or something. It's all his daily entries.
Oh, my gosh.
It's kind of fascinating.
Oh, okay.
But I'll get it to you, but I've loaned it to Dave King now.
Oh, I'd love to see it.
None of us may see it. He may just keep reading it.
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm guessing that the reason they probably have another copy in there.
Yeah, I know Daniel, who heads up the History Center. He's a really nice guy. So
I saw that. got to have that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, the book I got on the cemetery, that was extremely helpful.
Yeah.
It helped me understand the history of the cemeteries.
Yeah.
And there's so many of them in Monroe County. They're all over the place. There's a whole bunch of them down in Polk Township. It's a lot of them are like, there are some like on people's properties. And
yeah, because most families Ridge. Were right. generational and just yep. made their own cemetery.
Exactly. Exactly. It's interesting. So, all right, well, I guess that's all I have. Well, meeting adjourned.
Okay. All right.
If I can turn this off, I will.